The tech industry has a habit of getting ahead of itself. An idea comes along, investors talk it up, the media catches wind, suddenly the thing is everywhere. But before you can say the word disruptive, doubt creeps in, haters start hating, and the bubble is burst.
Welcome to the Gartner Conferencing Center.
People at Gartner, a Connecticut-based research and consulting firm, spend a lot of their time thinking about that cycle. They put out a chart each year, in fact, called the hype cycle, that tries to measure what stage different technologies are in and how fast they'll move through those stages.
Your inquiry call is about to begin.
Hi, this is Hung Lahong from Gartner.
We called up Lahong, one of the analysts at Gartner, to serve as tour guide. Before we get rolling, it's important to note the cycle isn't round like a circle. It's more serpentine.
The shape of the curve, if you can imagine it, it rises up like a mountain peak in the beginning to describe the fact that this technology is quite exciting.
Gartner calls this first phase the innovation trigger. On the upward slope, you'll find not quite yet household name technologies like bioacoustic sensing and volumetric displays. Another, human augmentation, is also still flying under the radar, but won't be for long.
Since the age of 21, instead of seeing color, I can hear color.
This is artist Neil Harbison delivering a TED Talk in July 2012. Born colorblind, he wears a prosthetic device called an eyeborg.
Is this electronic eye? It's a color sensor that detects the color frequency in front of me and sends this frequency to a chip installed at the back of my head, and I hear the color in front of me through the bone, through bone conduction.
His senses of sight and hearing swirl around together like a symphony. Red, orange, and yellow are higher up the scale. Blues sit down low.
When I started to dream in color is when I felt that the software and my brain had united.
So that's human augmentation. Gartner predicts it'll be more than 10 years before it's a mature technology. A little further along the hype cycle, which means at this point it's getting more attention, is the concept of biochips. Gartner defines these as the merging of semiconductors with biology. Think simulated organs.
So this is actually the size of a memory stick or a rubber eraser. And then if you look closer, actually, you see these individual microfabricated channels in which we, you know, grow human cells.
Inside a UPenn lab, engineering professor Dan He shows off his lung-on-a-chip device. Using a syringe, he keeps the cells alive inside these little tubes with a mixture of nutrients and oxygen. It doesn't function like an actual lung, but it is in some ways an avatar for the air sacs within the lung. The chip itself is made of the same material as contact lenses.
And then because the device is flexible, we can actually compress or stretch the whole device to mimic asthma attack.
By recreating constricted airways, Huss says pharmaceutical companies could test the next generation of asthma drugs in a controlled setting rather than on animals or in petri dishes. There's real potential here. And that means, according to Gartner's chart, the technology will soon slide into the next part of the hype cycle. It's called the peak of inflated expectations. Right now, that dubious honor, the unrelenting but undeserved spotlight, shines brightly on the so-called Internet of Things. On the chart, it is right at the apex of hype. Dan Frommer, tech editor for the digital news site Quartz, explains that Internet of Things is all about hooking up everyday objects to the web.
The jokes are always about things like connected toasters or connected refrigerators. And, you know, when you think about it, a connected refrigerator isn't actually a horrible idea. How many times are you at the grocery store and wondering, oh, what's actually in my fridge right now? Do we have yogurt or not?
But Gartner argues all the chatter about futuristic refrigerators isn't actually a good thing for getting futuristic refrigerators. We're just not there yet. When you're at the peak of inflated expectations, it's like everyone is trying to jump on a bandwagon that can't yet handle the weight. Dan Frommer from Quartz says he tries to get his reporters to tamp down the hype for new products. But he still does more or less like the concept of the hype cycle.
Sure. I think it's an interesting document. It doesn't really, you know, it's not something that I necessarily sit around waiting for.
It's actually unclear who does eagerly await this chart's update each year, though the safe bet is billionaires. Hung Lehong says most who buy the $7,500 version of the Hype Cycle report, which includes detailed analysis of each innovation, are entrepreneurs, large companies, and perhaps hedge funds. People actually doing the ground floor research and development, the grunt work, may simply glance at the one-page synopsis found for free online. And if they did, expect a few broken hearts when they learn their once hot technology has now passed through the peak of inflated expectations. The next phase on the hype cycle is a sad, sad little world Gartner calls the trough of disillusionment. Like a B-list celebrity, technologies down in this deep valley may linger for years, their buzz reduced to a fading echo. Venture capital has moved on. Media has moved on. All that's left are the true believers, working to refine and improve the concept, to develop the second and third generation versions that will someday provide real-world benefit. Hung Lehong calls one out.
We perceive there being negative hype in the marketplace today for cloud computing.
Along with the cloud, Gartner thinks big data and virtual reality are also feeling some serious growing pains. But they need not worry. The sun will soon peek through on the horizon.
And then, of course, there's a third phase, which is it crawls out of that deep valley and levels off. And at that point, that's where industry, enterprises, government, consumers get a very good grasp of where this technology works, and I guess even more importantly, where it doesn't work.
This part of the cycle is divided into two sections. The slope of enlightenment, home right now to technologies including 3D scanners and gesture control, and then the final leg, the plateau of productivity.
Microphone on. Press Alt Tab. Move mouse up.
Speech recognition has the plateau all to itself on the latest hype cycle. Elliot Spindell shows it off.
Press enter. Microphone off.
An accident at home in 1985 left Spindell a quadriplegic. So being able to talk to his computer and have it understand him is pretty crucial. 20 years ago, still working to restart his life, he decided to learn how to write software code.
But at the time, I had to have somebody type for me because I had no way to input into a computer. So I would basically dictate and you would type.
This is right when the first versions of speech recognition software were coming out. It was revolutionary, he says, especially for people living with physical disabilities. But it didn't work all that well.
Like you would say, today is Tuesday, period. And now you can just, so you just say today is Tuesday, period.
The technology has come so far since the mid-90s that Spindell now does back-end website work for a few nonprofits out of his residence at the Inglis facility in West Philly. Watching him code, though, it still appears slower than being able to type. Or maybe not.
It's hard to say. Before my injury, I was a two-finger kind of guy, and so definitely was not much speed there.
Speech recognition is now more than simply controlling your mouse and keyboard with your voice. Apple's Siri and Google's Voice Search, they use algorithms to interpret, to learn, and ideally predict our queries. That used to be hype. It was inflated expectation. Today, it's real. Gartner, by the way, doesn't always nail that evolution. One big miss in recent times were tablets, which the chart predicted would take much longer to reach enlightenment than they did. This is not a perfect science, but it is a good visual reminder that innovators and their ideas rarely have a smooth journey on the road to commercialization. They face ups and downs, peaks and troughs, as they snake their way towards success. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.